We're thankful for this precious opportunity that God has given us this morning in the house of God. I am very thankful that God has blessed us to be here in this meeting this weekend, to spend time with your pastor and Brother Mike. I thank God for all of your hospitality that you've shown to us and the kindness. If everyone would please pray for us, I hope, as Brother Nunley has already prayed and would continue to pray, turn your and direct your thoughts to the first epistle of the Apostle John, chapter 2 and verse 1. And by the inspiration of God, the Apostle John writes, "My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." It's been said by many individuals that have labored to expound on the first epistle of John that this is a family letter. You may have noticed that no less than 13 times the name Father is given in this first epistle of John. Father is a precious name that's known by families. And I'm very thankful that our Lord, when He gave us a model prayer and how to pray, He didn't say we should pray to our Lord God Almighty, which He is. He did not say we should use the title Sovereign Creator of the Universe, which He is, but we're blessed to say our Father, which art in heaven. How precious that is. Also, you'll notice the word brother, which is another family title. This found in this book is found no less than 12 times, and I'm happy to have the brothers that I have and as a Loudermilk, and I'm also thankful for the brethren and sisters I have in the Lord Jesus Christ in the kingdom of God. But this particular phrase, little children, is a phrase that's found 9 times in this first epistle of John. And if you would notice this morning, 7 of these times it appears, we have a wonderful instruction concerning the foundation of spiritual maturity. And someone would ask, "Well, Brother Ronnie, what is spiritual maturity?" It's us as children of God growing in knowledge and assurance and fellowship with our Lord. Now, we do not grow to become children of God. The work of grace in regeneration, the new birth, is an instant and irreversible work that's done directly by the Holy Spirit. It needs no help in mediation of man. But as children of God, we don't come forth knowing it all. And it's important for us to grow to a place of maturity in knowledge and in grace even. Not growing to grace, but growing in grace. You know, the last verse that Peter writes to us in 2 Peter 3:18, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Peter thought spiritual maturity was important. He told us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that they may grow thereby." Peter thought it was important that we grow in knowledge and in grace of the Lord. Do you feel in your membership here at Little Union, your attendance, you know more now than you did when you first came? Brother Chris and Sister Lydia, their daughter Evelyn, is very beautiful. But if I came back here, say, 2, 3, 4 years from now, and she hasn't grown some, I would think, is she receiving proper nutrients? And each time that you see me in this world as a child of God, I hope you can see that I'm growing in knowledge. You know, there in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 18, every year that Hannah came to visit Samuel, she had to bring him a new coat because it was visible that he had grown. And the ministry is given to the Lord's people. God gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. What? For the perfecting of the saints. That means to bring them to a state of maturity. That would henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Paul warns the Hebrews at a time when they ought to be teachers. They need one teach them again. And at a time when they should be chewing on meat, meaning the things a mature disciple would chew on, they're in need of milk. John, in these seven statements, little children, that I'm going to bring to your attention, gives us a foundation of spiritual maturity. It's important that we start with a proper foundation. Brother Chris and Sister Lydia, I know, or go to the physician, the pediatrician, they tell them things that the baby needs right now to get a good start. Even in education, it's important that kids get a good start. I have a friend of mine that told me he read a book here recently about all I need to know I learned in kindergarten. It's a good foundation. We need a good foundation to spiritual maturity. And we as children of God need to consider this good foundation. Because without a good foundation, the rest of the structure will be weak. That's the reason Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 and 25, of these two houses. You know, the one that hears the word and takes heed, he builds his house on a rock. The one that hears and doesn't take heed, he builds his house on the sand. The house was the same, but the foundation is what was different. We need a good foundation. What's a good foundation of spiritual maturity? John said here in John chapter 1st epistle 2:1, understanding the importance of cleanliness. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. It's important that we understand the importance of cleanliness. As a young boy, my mama had to tell me, you know, go wash your hands. Go take a bath. Wash behind your ears. And you know, as a child, I didn't understand the importance of that. You know, what does it make a difference if I eat my green beans with dirt all over my hands? What does it make a difference if I've been playing out there with the farm animals and come in to eat? Mama said it was important. And in a spiritual sense, when we serve God, a very good foundation for spiritual maturity is understanding cleanliness. Understanding that we as children of God need to labor to be clean from the things of the world in our service to the Lord. Understanding that our conscience needs to be clean in our fellowship with our brother and sister here in this world. The Apostle Paul told us in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, having these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the spirit and body, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Paul said cleanliness is important. It's important that I pray to God on a regular basis. He'd forgive me of my sins, that my sins I could be cleansed from them. You'll notice in the 1st epistle of John chapter 1 and verse 8, he said, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's not when we become regenerate children of God, but it's a time when our conscience is cleansed in the service of God. You know, there in Hebrews chapter 9, the Apostle Paul in writing says, forth the blood of goats and calves and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who offered himself through the Spirit without spot unto God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. I need my conscience cleansed in my service to God. It's important that I remain clean, that I could feel in my heart I have fellowship with the Lord. But it's also important to have that foundation of cleanliness in my fellowship with my brother and sister. Do you know your fellowship with your brother and sister in the house of God can hinder your enjoyment of fellowship with the Lord? Have you ever sat on the pew and had an argument or maybe a hard feeling toward a brother or sister in the church and it just detracted from you being able to pay attention in the house of God? You know, the family of God would gather together and sing Amazing Grace through clenched teeth because the brother or sister over here said something about my children they shouldn't have said. It happens. And sometimes we need to be cleansed of that. If you ever went up to a brother and sister that you maybe had offended and you knew it and just said, hey, I need you to forgive me. And they may have not thought anything about it, but it done you good. We need to understand that foundation of cleanliness, that foundation. But there's something else we need to understand as far as a good foundation in spiritual maturity. And John tells us this in 1 John 2:12. He said, I write unto you little children. Notice again, little children. And I love that little children phrase. You know why? The little children are never really the troublemakers. It's the big kids. Little children, these things I write unto you because your sins are forgiven. And hallelujah. I'm happy to have that knowledge of the forgiveness of sins for His name's sake. John lays this in with this forget for His name's sake. You know what John is telling us? A very good foundation for spiritual maturity is having appreciation for this name. The kids that are in the church house today, I'm glad to see you. Children crying in the church house, doesn't bother me at all. You know, there in Mount Perry, we have a lot of kids in the church house. And I remember one particular Sunday, we had kids, you know, one to get loud, the other to get louder, one to get louder, the other gets louder. And next thing you know, you got three or four kids and mamas are going back and forth. And a brother comes up to you and says, you know, I couldn't even hear it thunder in the church house this morning, Brother Ronnie. I love to hear it, though. But, you know, little children need to be instructed on the importance of appreciation for name. Because, see, kids, the name that you have, you'll be identified with that name as long as you're on this earth. And your actions in school, in society, people remember this. Now, we, the children of God, disciples of the Lord, members of the Lord's church, we're identified with this church. We're identified with the Lord. And the way people see us live tells them how much we appreciate the name. Do we live in such a way that we show appreciation for name? A very foundation of spiritual maturity is understanding we should have appreciation for this name that we're identified with. We should not live as the people of the world. We should not be conformed to the world. James said, he that's the friend of the world is the enemy of God. We should flee from the temptations of the flesh. Why? Showing appreciation that I'm identified with Jesus. Do you know when you joined the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, you asked for a home and they so mercifully took you in, and that should be your attitude. We should not have an attitude that I came to the church and the church is so blessed to have me on your side. That's not the attitude to have. We should not think in ourselves the church needed me, but we should always remember I needed the church. You know, if the church would have never taken me in, the church would have been fine. You would have been fine. The church would have been fine. The church needed, got all it needed from the Lord. And the way that God gave the church is perfect. God doesn't need someone to come from the outside and add to His church. God gave us everything that we need. And the church didn't need me. I needed the church. And I'm so thankful. And in being a member of the church, I want to live in such a way that I show appreciation for the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is their only lawgiver, and His word is the authority that we live by and we conduct ourselves by. Do you think that's a foundation of spiritual maturity? If we don't have that, there might not be much growing. You may walk around with feeble knees and twisted ankles. And John said in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18, another very important foundation to spiritual maturity. He said, my little children, it is the last time. And I know someone says, go on, Brother Ronnie, tell us about the Antichrist. And that's not part of the message today, okay? If you want to know what I think about Antichrist, I'll take the lunch table. But John said it's very important that we as children of God, disciples of the Lord, know how to tell time. My little children, it's the last time. Now, I think John is telling us here in this verse that when he's writing, he's in a last dispensation of time. I think the Bible teaches us three distinct dispensations of time. We have a time from Adam to Moses, as Paul would tell us in Romans 5:14. We have a time from Moses to Christ. And then we have a last time. Paul writes in Hebrews 1:3, it's the last days. It's from Christ first coming to His second coming. And it's the last dispensation of time on this earth. And John said, this is the last time. You know what he's telling his congregation? You need to know what time it is. My little boy, Joshua, I know many of you probably saw him on Facebook. Yeah, I love Joshua. Joshua's a good little boy. And we're working with Joshua on how to tell time. And sometimes at night when it's time to go to bed, I'll say, Joshua, go look and see what time it is. And he'll look at the digital stove. And I'm trying to work with him on understanding the watch, to know what time it is. It's important for kids to learn how to tell time early. And I'm sorry to tell you, most preachers like me, we don't know a lot about telling time. That's, I know you're saying, Brother Ron, you need to learn how to tell time. I could say I don't see very good. I need to go to the eye doctor. I can't see the hands on the clock, but I might be telling a fib. But we need to learn it's important to tell time. You know, there in Luke chapter 12 and verse 55, Jesus looked at some individuals and He said, when the clouds come from the west, He said, you say it's a shower. He said, when the south wind blows, you say it's going to be heat. He said, you hypocrites, how is it you're able to discern the face of the sky and the earth, but you cannot discern the time? He's telling them, you don't understand what time it is. It was a time of visitation that people could have enjoyed. There in Luke chapter 19, he accuses them, you did not understand this time of visitation. Now, I believe Mary, who sat at Jesus' feet there at the end of Luke chapter 10, she understood that time of visitation. You know, Martha, when she comes to Jesus there and said, Lord, carest thou not that Martha's left me to, that Mary's left me to serve alone? Martha, Martha, thou cumbered about with many things. But see, Mary had chosen a good part that shall not be taken away from her. Mary knew, I only got so much time to sit at Jesus' feet in His public ministry here in this world. I want to take advantage of it. She understood the importance of time. Amen. And we, as children of God, little children, in spiritual maturity, we need to know the importance of time. There's a time that we have to worship God. And we need to take advantage of that time. You know, there in South Georgia, many churches start at 11 o'clock. You know what I call them? I call them late Baptists. And I tell them, you know, you better hurry up and get done with your sermon or you'll never beat the rest of the people to the eating house. Or you better eat at church. But Mount Perrin, we start like you at 10:30. And you know what time services start? 10:30. Spiritual maturity is understanding the time. Services don't start at 11. And I know what you're saying, Brother Ronnie, this is none of your business. No, it is, because I love you. And I care about you. I want you to enjoy the service that God has blessed you with. You know, God didn't have to give this to us. He was not obligated. But we have this. How precious it is. So the worship service begins in song service. You know what the song service does? It prepares us for the preaching. We should thank God that He's given us a voice to sing and use that voice to know what time it is. You know, the ant showed forth wisdom and understanding. Opportunity and time. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, ruler, provide for food in summer and her meat in time of harvest. The ant understood there's a time that I've got to do this because one day it's going to be too late. A very important foundation of spiritual understanding what time. If you want to grow in knowledge of the Lord, and as the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12, apprehend that for which I am apprehended. You know what he's saying? Something has hold of me. But I want to get hold of it. Now Paul's not saying Jesus has grabbed hold of me. Now I want to finish the deal that I could be one of His. No, he said He has hold of me. I belong to Him. Now I want to grab hold of Him to know more about Him. To know more about this Lord that loved me, who was unlovable, that loved me before the foundation of the world, that saved me by His grace, that paid for all my sins on the cross of Calvary, and I hope to see in the clouds. I want to grab hold of Him. Paul told Timothy, lay hold on that eternal life. And in doing so, it means we need to be in the house of God to hear the preached word. You know what God has given to us as children of God that we could grow? You know, the land of Canaan, they had milk and honey. God said it's a land of milk and honey, and God gave them so much. Here in the spiritual land of Canaan, the New Testament church, God has given us pastors according to His heart, and they should feed us, Jeremiah 3:15, with milk and honey. No, with knowledge and understanding. Knowledge and understanding, and to receive that knowledge and understanding is through the preaching of the word. I'm not asking you to idolize worship, Brother Chris, but I'm asking you to listen to this man of God who would deliver you the truth that would benefit you in spiritual growth to be closer to the Lord in your life. Knowing the time. The Apostle Paul there in Romans chapter 13 and verse 11, and knowing that now is the time, the high time to wake out of sleep, for now is your salvation nearer than when you first believed. It's time for us to wake up. And as John, the Lord, exhorts the church at Sardis, be watchful. Wake up! Understand the importance of this. As a 44-year-old man, I stand before you. I've wasted a lot of time in my life. And I look back, I didn't take advantage of the time because I didn't know the importance of time. But a very strong foundation is understanding time. We'll go a little further in 1 John chapter 3, verse 7. John writes to us, little children. I love that. Little children. Does that comfort your heart when he says, little children? I love to listen to Sam Bryant preach, and Sam will get up and say, "Brothers and sisters, like he's shaking your hand the whole time he's preaching to you." I love that. John is like he's just shaking my little hand. This man that spent so much time with the Lord, he has time just to shake my poor little hand. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous even as he is righteous. John said, let no man deceive you. You know a very important foundation of spiritual maturity? Knowing to tell the truth and knowing how to detect a lie. Knowing how to tell the truth. You know, my daddy never had to tell me how to lie. Never did. I knew how to lie. But my mom and daddy had to instruct me in the importance of telling the truth. And also instructing me on how to detect something that was not true. Spiritual maturity will require that. You know, Paul wrote to us there in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, the Spirit speaketh express, in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Why? Telling lies. You have people here that will be telling lies, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats. You know, there in Revelation chapter 3, and verse 9, concerning those that say they're Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan, they lie. How do we detect a lie? By knowing truth. You know, if you're building a structure and you want to make sure it's level, you need something to measure it by, don't you? You know how to measure it? With something that's straight. You know how to tell if something's crooked? Measure something is straight. I tell you, you pull a line to something, you can tell if it's straight. You know, the line that we have is the plumb line that came down from heaven. It's this Word of God. You want to know how to detect lies? Spend time with this Word. A very foundation of spiritual maturity is spending time with God in His Word to know how to detect a lie. Many children here in the house of God, you know, the devil and the teachers of this world would like to divert you from the truth. You know, we have a responsibility, parents, that they would know that truth. We have a responsibility at home. We shouldn't lay all that responsibility on the pastor. We have responsibilities. I'm the daddy. God has blessed me to be the daddy of Joshua and Sarah. I have a responsibility at home that they would know truth and know how to detect a lie. I don't want my son to believe a lie. I want my son to believe the truth. And somebody says, are you going to try to make your son a Primitive Baptist? No, he already joined the Primitive Baptist Church. Now I'm just going to finish up the brainwashing so he knows there's nothing else. It's a very important foundation to spiritual maturity. Let's go a little further in 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. John writes, hereby perceive we the love of God because He laid down His life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Hallelujah. That's a wonderful verse, isn't it? Because Jesus done this for us, we should be willing to do for our brethren and sisters. He said, but whoso hath this world's goods and shutteth up the bowels of his compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. A very strong foundation to spiritual maturity is knowing how to show the love of God. Now, I cannot put the love of God in your heart. 1 Thessalonians 4:9, brethren, he said, the Apostle Paul basically says that I cannot put that love in your heart, but you are taught of God. This is what he says, but you are taught of God to love one another. If you have the love of God in your heart, the way it is there is by the direct work of grace. But as a minister of the gospel, your pastor, the other men of God that your pastor would ask to come to the pulpit, they're charged with teaching you how to show that love. Do you believe you could be taught in better ways on how to show that love? I love just watching the way my fathers in the ministry walk. I love listening to their comments. And I even ask for criticism on how I could show better ways to love the congregation. Because truly we show our love for God by the way we love each other. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor and love, but you've shown to His name and that you have ministered and do minister to the saints. The writer basically says we show our service to God by serving one another. You know, Jesus told us there in John chapter 13, by this shall all men know that we're His disciples, that we have love to one another. He didn't say we have love for one another. Love to. I can have love for you without you knowing it, but I cannot have love to you unless you know it. Think about this. When I first met Jennifer, you know, and I got all goo-goo-eyed, you know, and I couldn't think about nothing else but her, and I'd call her and talk to her so long, I'd make her ears sore. And she said, you know, I got to go to bed sometime, Ronnie. I said, I just want to make sure I talk to you long enough. I didn't want to give another boy a chance to ask right on a date. And I thought if I pester her enough, she might get wore out and say yes. I wore her down. But I had love for Jennifer. But I didn't tell her. She did not know I had love for her until I showed love to her. I can have love for the family of God and not show it, and all I'd have is love for, but I cannot have love to unless I'm showing. Brother S.W. Causey, who's a deacon there at Mount Perrin Church, he was the school superintendent there in a social circle. I called him one day just to ask how he was, and he said, Brother Ronnie, I'm glad you called. I said, well, I've been thinking about you, Brother Causey. He said, yes. He said, and I would have not known that if you had not called me. Catch that? A foundation of spiritual maturity is knowing how to show love. John writes to us in 1 John 4:4. He said, ye are of God, little children. I love that, little children. I just never get tired of hearing that. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. A very important foundation of spiritual maturity is understanding where your strength is. My strength is not in my carnal nature. My strength is not in worldly armor. My strength is not in the intelligence of this world. My strength is in the one that made this world. He is my defense. And very often, you know, if we're not cautious, we can take a spiritual warfare to a physical warfare. It's a line that must be drawn. You know, the Apostle Paul tells us that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I love that casting down. You know what that literally means? How many of you watch professional wrestling? Don't lie. You know, when I was a kid, I thought every sport on TV was fixed but professional wrestling. My grandpa would get out his pocket knife and say, I'll tell you what, I'd get that guy. But I watched those wrestlers, you know, when I was a kid, would pick up those guys and throw them down. You know what they did? They lowered them with violence. That's what casting down means. When things enter into our mind that are in opposition to the way of God, we should, as they would throw down those, we should throw it down. Casting down imagination. How do we do that, Brother Ronnie? Through our physical? No. By the strength that is in us. God is our strength. David said in Psalms chapter 59, and this is a psalm that makes reference to the messenger of Saul coming there to his house to take his life. He's in bed. And someone says, well, David needed to call the police. The king sent them in. Are you going to call the police? The king of Israel sent them in to take his life. Well, he needs to call 911, where there wasn't a telephone, but if there was, the king sent them in, folks. You know what David writes? God is my defense. You know, there in 1 Samuel chapter 17, David learned that when he saw Goliath out there. He's so big, David is but a stripling. He saw Goliath out there, and Goliath said, you know, who is this stripling? You come to me, you think I'm a dog? I mean, if we'd have saw this, we'd have thought, this little lad's going down. But David said, you know, you come to me. With all this, but I come to you in the name of the God of Israel. David knew where his strength was. He wouldn't take Saul's armor. He didn't need the armor of the world. All he needed is what God had blessed him to have. My strength is in God. You know, Joshua and Sarah, you know, when we go like to Disney World, and yeah, I've been to Disney World, and I'm going to write a book one day on the joy and pain of Disney World. Joy is when you see your kids run up to Mickey and hug his neck and Donald. The pain is when you're on those transit buses and your face is pushed against the window and you don't know who smells the worst, you or the guy beside you. Amen. That's, if I've said any truth this morning, that's it. Amen. When we're at Disney World, we would stress to Joshua, and I told Jennifer, I wish I had a leash for Sarah. You know, Joshua was a well-behaved young man. And I talk about Sarah and I say, you know, Joshua's a well-behaved young boy. He does good. And I said, but little Sarah, she's a rebel. Joshua said, yes, she is the devil. But they know. If anything, they know to come to us quickly. Because their strength is not in their legs. Their strength is not in their screaming voice. They need to come to mom and daddy. And as little children of God, we need to know where our strength is. God is, He's our refuge. He's our citadel. He's our high tower. He is my shield. He's my buckler. And in times of trouble, I've never understood this, why members of the church in times of trouble always run from the church. You know, the pastor will call on the telephone and say, why are you not at church? Well, I was having some trouble. Well, the church is where you need to be. But I'm going through trouble. That's where I need to be. You need to be close to God. He's where your strength is. Your strength is not in the world. Your strength is not in watching these men on TV. Your strength is not in watching a ball game. Your strength is not in anything. Your strength is in God. Finally, 1 John chapter 5, verse 1, the seventh one, I'd like to bring your attention. Verse 21, John says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. An important foundation of spiritual maturity is knowing that we cannot let anything get in our way of the service of God. Amen. Now, the preachers and the ministers that are here are going to amen that, and they're going to amen it heartily. But I know there may be some people here that says, you know, Brother Ronnie, I got a lot of things to do. If it's hindering us from our service to God, we need to lay it aside. Amen. And you may think, well, I don't have a carved statue in my living room that I worship. I don't have this rock that I've chipped out of stone that I burn incense to. And I'm glad you don't. But an idol does not have to be a piece of carved wood or something chipped out of stone. It could be anything that hinders us and is in our way from being close to Jesus. It could be football. You know, I remember a time in my life, I love football. And citizens of Florida, you're going to be happy. I'm a Miami Dolphins fan. I am. And I'm a Miami Dolphins fan. I love Bob Greasy. I love Dan Marino. I used to enjoy watching him. You know, I remember watching Dan Marino when he beat the Bulldogs in the Sugar Bowl that year, and I cried, but I became his fan. I don't know how that worked. You know, that's Loudermilk's run stable. But I liked him. And I remember I was home with my family, and they were all talking about Scripture, you know, and this one thing about Loudermilk's, they love to talk. We're not good listeners. We're good, like to talk. I didn't say we're good talkers. We just like to talk. And they're all talking. And I'm trying to listen to the ball game. And all of a sudden, there's a touchdown. I'm like, yes, 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 yes. And all of a sudden, someone looks at me and said, I wish you was excited about the church as you are about this ball game. Something dawned on me that day. This ball game may be an idol to me. I love to watch college football. And I was in Alabama here recently. You know what I said right off the get-go? I just want all you guys in Alabama to know we gave you your trophy. That's it. We gave it to you. I mean, the Falcons and the Bulldogs both lost on the same end of the field. We gave it to you. Enjoy it. Shine it up. We gave it to you. And Notre Dame couldn't have beat us neither. But a ball game should not come in our way of the service to God. The ball game should not come in my way in making preparation to preach on Sunday morning. A ball game should not come in the way of the annual meeting. It's important that we're at the house of God. My little children, keep yourselves. Why does he say keep yourselves? Because we could fall into it. When Paul said in Romans 6:12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, what he said is it could. Okay, here we go. Vacations. Vacations can become an idol. As a pastor of the church, I love to see the congregation at church. I love it. It makes me feel good when the people are there. Because I'm concerned. You know, I'm going to miss. I bring my telephone into church at Mount Perry and I text with people. If I don't see them, I begin to tell, are you okay? Are you okay? Oh, Oh, we decided to go on a vacation. Well, why can't you wait after service to go? Well, we were going to the beach. And we're going to leave on Saturday and come back on Sunday evening. We're going to miss two services. What would it hurt to leave on Sunday afternoon after church and come back on Saturday night? You're not going to see anything on that beach that you don't see that week. And probably a lot of things you see, it'd do you good not to see it anymore. I mean, just to be honest with you, people need to put some clothes on. You know, there in Mark chapter 5, when the Lord had cast the devils out of the wild Gadarene, we see him sitting by Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. You know the reason some people go across the yard naked? They're not in their right mind. So a preacher in times past would say they don't wear enough clothes to wad a shotgun. A mosquito would fly through without breaking a wing. I don't care about seeing this, okay? I could have done without some things. But it can become an idol to us if it gets in our way of the service of God. What should be the most important thing to us in our life? Jesus Christ and His service, and anything else is behind, okay? I told a person once, you put God and His service first, your family second, everything else take care of itself. But truly, if we believe that, we should put God first in His service and everything else will take care of itself. If you want a good foundation for your family, put God in His service first. Amen. Keep yourselves from idols, little children. And I hope by something I've said this morning, you've been exhorted to labor on a strong foundation to spiritual maturity, that you'd be established, strengthened in your service to God, that when the storms of this life come, that your house would still stand in His service, and you can live a life to the glory of God. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 12:13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Let's just hear the final line. Fear God. Keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. God bless you.